What's going on, guys? You've stumbled across the Kingdom Driven Podcast. I'm Isaac Hinnekamp. I'm joined with a new buddy of mine, Carson Case. He's down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina right now, right?
Yeah, man, Myrtle Beach.
Right on, bro. And how old are you again?
I am 23 years old, man.
Right on. So yeah, Carson's 23. He's leading a pretty awesome ministry and a movement down there. I'm looking forward to learning more about that, and I'm sure you guys are going to be interested in that also. But Carson, first off, let's just dive into, tell us what you think we need to know about you and kind of where the Lord's taking you from and where he's taking you to right now.
I got you, man. Well, I think one of the most important things I could say, kicking it off apart from knowing Jesus and having faith in him, is my new wife. We've been married, and I shout out to Aaron. We've been married about a month and a half now. So it is a great blessing, but it's been extremely hard, you know, getting used to merging lifestyles and all those things, but incredibly blessed by just my new wife, new marriage. I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, so born and raised there. I moved to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Coastal Carolina University is where I went to college, so I moved out here for that years back. And so now I'm in Myrtle Beach. I help serve, lead Soul Movement, Soul Young Adults in Myrtle Beach, which is just a young adults movement for people, believers, unbelievers alike, to come to find community, to ultimately find faith in Jesus. I have written a book that is coming out here soon. It is a Devo book for young adults. Man, I love fitness. I love the outdoors. I love to travel. Love hanging out with my close community. And man, yeah, I just feel blessed to be on here today and super grateful, man, that you would be thinking of me.
That's sweet, bro. No, for sure. It's you're definitely kind of the ideal guy when I think of who some of the people following our Instagram account might want to hear from. And I think ultimately what we're trying to get out of this is just figure out the heart behind why these influencers and why people like yourself are doing what they're doing, right? And how the Lord's really using people whose hearts are in the right place, and leveraging things like the entrepreneurial spirit, creative thinking, resourcefulness, and all of these things just to do kingdom work at the end of the day, man. So hopping into that, like you had touched on Soul Movement a little bit, but why don't you kind of explain how that came to be and give a bit more detail about where that's actually at today?
Yeah, man, I got you. So I think just started off pretty simple. Anything, man, starts with a vision. I think anybody listening, for you, for me, we all have dreams and visions. And I believe that those start where God has you in that moment. So I would look, let's dial back probably three, four years. I'm at Coastal Carolina. I'm in a place in Myrtle Beach, a university where Jesus and God and ministry and church and those things, they're just not talked about a lot. So for a guy like me who was new in this faith at about 20 years old and was dreaming and hoping that God would just stir up something that was real and authentic in Myrtle Beach and at my college of Coastal Carolina, man, I'm hanging out in the gym all the time. I'm with a lot of Greek life fraternity and sorority and athletes and kind of in the church and on the beach and just in a lot of different places and spaces. And so God is just stirring this vision, this dream for me. And it's in my heart. I'm home for the summer. I remember it pretty vividly. And God just spoke to me, hey, I want you to take action on building authentic community in and around Myrtle Beach for young people, for college students, for young adults alike. I'm stirring something in you and I want you to take action on this. And so we took action, and it was, and I say we, it was myself and a couple others. I would say two or three people. I mean, that's it. And, you know, I would like to just bring myself out of this real quick and speak to anybody who has a dream or a vision on their heart. And maybe God has just been knocking on your heart for so long, but you believe that it needs to be bigger than it should be from the start, from the jump. Well, I'll say this. I think it's easy to look at what God is doing 2 to 3 years later, and it's much larger. But most of the time when God speaks for you to jump and to take action, it may be 1, 2, or 3 people. And so don't let that intimidate you or spark fear in you that it won't be good enough or that you need more approval or that you need a bigger ministry or movement or dream. Start with what you have and start with what the Holy Spirit is stirring in you. Because for me, it was just, hey, I'm going to obey God right here. So we did that, man. And Young and Free became this Bible study / hangout on Coastal Carolina's campus. It's morphed over these years from starting with just a few friendships to just pulling people in. And I said it before, some that were believing in Jesus, believing in God, some that didn't, but just wanted real, authentic friendships and people to hang around and to have community and do life with. And so I think that's always been a true mark of Soul, is we want to love people where we're at. We want to love big, but we also want to shine and make known the great name of Jesus. And we've done that. And if people follow Jesus, that's our number one. But if they don't, we're going to love them anyways. And so over the years, man, it's morphed into a full-fledged movement and organization that I believe is known through kind of the social media world and through my stuff. And it's influential here in Myrtle Beach. And it's just been a great blessing to kind of just build a movement of people where, hey, we're going to create avenues and community. We're going to host nights, mostly on Tuesday nights, on Sunday nights, and house parties throughout the month, and season trips where we go, we take young adults to different locations and try to raise them up and grow them deeper in faith and more deeply rooted just in community and friendship and living a life of abundance, living a life with Jesus, living a life that matters and that's important and that makes it different here in our city. We want to change our city of Myrtle Beach. And so, man, that was probably 3 years ago, and all these things have begun to happen. We just finished really the 2 year mark of, I said it before, Young and Free was kind of the Bible study, but Soul became it 2 years ago. We just celebrated 2 years of Soul. Now Soul's kind of like, and I'll finish it here. Soul's like a brand name. Okay. I think it's funny because it gets thrown around a lot of like, man, Soul, or you coming to Soul, or that Soul thing looks cool. But ultimately, I don't want to be overly Christianese, but the basis of what we do is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. So that's based on 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And man, I believe in freedom. I think a lot of people believe in freedom, but there's an ultimate freedom of the Spirit of God. I think there's a lot of things that we're told free us in the world, but they don't really free us. They bind us up and they probably put us in a prison, because if it's not Jesus, then ultimately it will suffocate you and it won't free you. And we believe, man, that freedom and community, freedom life here in Myrtle Beach at Coastal Carolina is the Spirit of God. And we're going to trust the Spirit of God. We're not going to trust ourselves. And so that's what Soul was built on. Then it just became the brand name that is Soul Movement, Soul Young Adults. So, man, over time, we've seen people come in just like a revolving door of young people ages 18 to 30, probably average age of 22, 23 years old, and just meeting Jesus and finding friends and finding a future, finding a home, hopefully getting plugged into local churches. The biggest vision from the beginning was we just want to push people into local churches. We want people to believe in the local church, to believe in Jesus, to believe in a life that's much bigger than themselves. And man, we've seen God do incredible things. So I'm really thankful for our people and our community in Myrtle Beach. I'm thankful for our leadership team. I'm incredibly thankful for my wife and just everything around me, because I think sometimes it can tend to be a Carson thing or Carson's leadership style, but man, it's really just the people we get to do life with, and we bring more people in and shine Jesus and love people well. That's the mark of what Soul is here in Myrtle Beach, man.
I love that, bro. You take the concept of being trusted with little to be trusted with more very seriously, and I can tell that, bro. I'd be interested. Appreciate that. You touched on the local church a little bit and how you guys are actually driving some of these people who are coming out to your events and joining your community into the local church. Maybe just from your point of view, bro, for those who might be listening and are wondering, how do you feel the role of the local church and what you're actually doing differ in a way?
Yeah. So, man, I mean, ultimately, I believe the hope of the world that we see in scripture, Jesus loving the local church. The local church is where we should be, especially as a millennial, young, questionable, confused generation of like, where's our place in the local church? And it's not just the place to, hey, I just go here and worship, or if I'm not a pastor, this, you know, overly Christianese person and I don't belong, but it's, hey, like your gifts and your talents, they belong in the local church. Like God wants to use you there. He wants to build community there. And I think for Soul, in the way that we want to just connect and partner here in Myrtle Beach, man, I got confused, dude. But no, the way we want to partner here in Myrtle Beach is, you know, we want to show college people, we want to show young adults that you belong in the local church. Like, we don't want to necessarily be that for you, be that that Sunday morning thing for you, but we want to be, and I think I had said it just about 5 minutes ago, but that revolving door of, hey, we're gonna be this like front door, and we're gonna, just going to push you to local pastors, to local leaders, to the local church. We're just going to push you through, because here's what we know, here's what we found out with something like Solus. For the local church, for the normal Sunday morning vibe that I think is put off for millennials right now, you're not seeing a large percentage. I don't have all the answers to that, but you're not seeing a large percentage of college age people automatically go. And I think a lot of those questions that have to be talked about is fear and approval. And here's what I found out through my family. Hey, I was raised in this, so I'm not going to go. Hey, now I'm finally in college, I'm never going to church because I was always made to go to church by my parents. I don't know what your story is, but what we found out through Soul and success that the Holy Spirit has brought us is that creative events, hangouts, and places where we can talk about faith and life. We can have the hard conversation. It's not, hey, come listen to us and leave and we hope you get it, but more of this community-centric basis, and then saying, hey, you don't just belong at Soul, you belong in the local church, because there you're going to get plugged in. There you're going to be brought up into leadership. And we never want to just take place of that. I think this is a hard conversation for anybody listening. Like, you know, Carson, what are you saying? What do you mean? Are you trying to like replace local churches? No. But what we know is that there's been success through something like Soul of just bringing young adults around the table. And one big thing that many people would say in our city is that Soul has been able to bring young adults around the table that would never step foot in a church, never, due to their addictions, due to their past, due to their family life. They just wouldn't, because the persona that the church has gotten for so long, they just wouldn't. And that's reality. And so for Soul to say, hey, we want you to step in here. Let's talk. Let's hang. Let's be friends. Let's be boys. Let's do this. Let's do that. And then I just want to show you. I want to show you church in the way that God's called us to do it. I want to show you life in the local church. I want to show you a life with Jesus that matters so much that hopefully, and here's my vision, and I'll end it here, that people would come into Soul and plug into the local church. And if they're 18, if they're 21, if they're 24, that through what we're doing in Soul Movement, that they would have a marriage that's rooted in the local church, that they would have kids that go to the local church ultimately, that their family basis and foundation, because they stepped into the revolving door of Soul and hopefully got pushed in the local church, that for years and years to come, they believe in the church, they believe in Jesus, they believe in community, they believe in authentic friendships. Because I think where we're at right now, it's this kind of teeter-totter scale of, well, if I'm 21, if I'm just getting to college, if I'm a young adult, then I'm just going to throw church away and it's never going to happen. And I think what we're seeing is people that are 35, 40, 45, like, wow, is it too late for me to get plugged in? Is it, what's going on? I've already been married and divorced or this and that. I would love to just capture the heart of a young adult, a college age student right now and say, believe in the church, believe in Jesus, believe in us, not against you. And that's kind of my heart behind it.
That's amazing, bro. I love hearing that. And I can definitely tell that these are things you've kind of had to think through, obviously, as you kind of cast the vision and think through what it is that God's calling you to actually build for him here. So what I'd be interested to hear now is maybe what the biggest lesson you feel God's actually taught you, and whether that's through failures or whether that's through some of the things you've seen working that you're doing. Yeah. But maybe since you've started Soul, like what you feel as like someone who these people are kind of looking to for leadership, who's being led at the same time by God, I'd be interested to know the biggest lesson that he's kind of brought you through in that tension zone.
Yeah, man. Dude, oh man, so many. And I think for people listening, this is a big question for leadership and ministry. And I think even just in a world where we all paint the picture of like, hey, I've got it all together, so come to me. And I definitely don't. And my life is tough. My marriage is tough. I'm learning. But I have picked up on some things over the years through Soul. So here's what I would say. I would say get out of your own way. Put your ego to the side. And as a young person, here's what we have to know. Because it's hard to know this. So it's going to be easy for me to say this. But for people that are listening, for myself to retain this, it's very hard because the social media generation that we've been brought up into, which is a great blessing, a great tool, but also it kills a lot of things because it paints the picture of it is about you. It's about your profile. It's about what you want to do. It's about what you want to put out. It's about your story. God's all about you. And the thing is, that's not it. And so my advice for someone leading and dreaming and wanting to chase the Spirit of God is get out of your own way. It is not about you. It's never been about you. And I think maybe I'm speaking to people that were brought up in homes where it was just all about you all the time. And if you wanted it, you got it. And I know for me, I had to learn, you know, going to college and becoming just a young person, making a lot of my own decisions, you know, outside of my parents, that holy moly, it's not about Carson, you know, and leading what I'm leading and being in the position that I'm at, you know, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And it's about hurting broken people in this world. It's about helping someone in need. It's about doing for other people what I couldn't do for myself, or what they couldn't do for me. You know, it's what can I do for the people around me? How can I help create a fear that's bigger than me, that's bigger than you, that ultimately the glory and the fame of Jesus, the glory and the fame of God Almighty is going to be spoken into existence, and we wouldn't get the glory ourselves. And that, man, said that, it rolls off the tongue. It's like, woohoo, like Carson, man, you're crushing it. That sounds so awesome. But to leave your house, to get in your car, to walk it out, to do your business, to have your relationships, community, is very hard because the world puts this pressure on us and kind of has trapped us in thinking, well, it's about whatever you want to do. And it's all about you, you. But the thing is, man, I've just learned being a young leader and hopefully through wise counselors. And I just hope that people are hearing this. It's not about you. Remove your ego. And I have to do that every day. I have to get up and say, you know what? It's not about me. It's not. It's about Jesus. It's about a bigger picture. It's about a future for people who are broken and hurting. It's about really just bringing all my junk to the Lord and to the throne of God, saying, I don't have it all together. Like, I may be this leader. I may be, you said it earlier, the word influencer. You know, we are in an influential generation where a lot of people are being looked at through media platforms. And I appreciate that so much. I want to thank anybody who's listening who's like, man, Carson's been following you, or I like you, or I like what you're saying. But the thing is, I don't have it all together. You know, I'm working to live by a standard that God's put before me. But you know what? I'm going to fall. I'm going to fail. And ultimately, the name of Jesus is the only name that's going to stretch further than our names. And that's where I'm going to look. And so every day I have to wake up and I have to put my ego and I have to put myself to the side and move forward, not making it about me. So any young leader, any person listening, it's not about you. Love you enough to tell you that.
I'm sure there's probably not one person that actually listened to that whole thing that's not having a bit of a heart check moment themselves. I know for sure that's definitely one of the most convicting things and one of the easiest things to get trapped in is in ourselves in the day to day when things happen to us that we're not expecting or things happen to us that we don't think are fair. That's a very good point, my friend. Amen. I'd be interested to know, like, maybe because you and I had touched on when we first got to know each other a couple weeks ago, like maybe some of the mindset you were in five years ago, like when you were still in high school and that type of thing, and just kind of living that lifestyle, and anybody who might be listening to this that was where you were in high school that might actually kind of see where you're at now and hear these things that you're saying and wonder, how the heck is a guy who's 23 have such a heart for the Lord like this? Why don't you just talk about where you came from a little bit and share a little bit of your testimony too for those people?
Yeah, man, golly. And man, God has brought me so far. I can think back as a teen all the way up to 17, 18 years old. I mean, I just did not know God. I didn't. And even still, after meeting Jesus at age 17 years old as a soon-to-be senior in high school, I still struggled. You know, you don't just meet God and your ego is removed and you're living this great life. But here's what I do know is when I was you know, living away from the Lord. And when I was in high school, just, I mean, maybe I wasn't the worst person in the world, but everything was about Carson and everything was about my decision making. I was an athlete in Little Rock, Arkansas. I'd love to just be the life of the party and to be social and care about, you know, where I was going to go, what I was going to do, who I was going to play for. And, man, I hurt a lot of people. And it was until I was 17 years old and I had a crazy, crazy wild back injury playing football and basketball and lifting weights and all this behind that I was told by a doctor that I didn't know, hey, kid, you'll never play again. Your dreams of college football or basketball and a scholarship through athletics is done. You'll never play organized sports again. And kind of here's what I heard through that whole story and through my testimony is, hey, guess what? You need Jesus. You're not the man. You don't have all the answers. You don't have life figured out. You can't just step on everybody's toes all the time because you're captain of this or because you're leader of this or because you're some big shot. You may have felt that way in high school, but here's the deal. You need a savior and you need to think about that and you need to pray about that. You need to bring your brokenness to the throne of God. And so I would love to just encourage the young man or the young lady that's listening. You're in high school and you're doing it. And this, I don't want to get on this podcast about drinking and drugs and partying because that's not Carson. Like I don't want to go that route. I just want to be real and say, hey, there are some things you may get tied up in. Maybe you're now and you may be living a life where like, it's just, hey, indulging anything I want. I'm going to do whatever I want. And, you know, I'm going to get right with God when I'm later in my 20s or my 30s. But I'm going to tell you, you may not have that time.
Yeah.
You may not have that moment. And so I just want to put it on somebody's heart right now. For me, it took this crazy back injury and all the dreams of my life of being a college athlete being just ripped away and robbed from me and broken down to where I missed 3 months of my senior year of high school. I got wrecked. I've never talked about this. I've met Jesus when I gave my life to Jesus. When I was 17 and I was going to my senior year of high school and I missed those 3 months, man, every friend of mine left me. I got my house egged. I got just terrible things written on my truck about, you know, this and that, and you're this type of person. And hey, man, I was imperfect, but what I did know was I wanted to pursue Jesus Christ. And so anytime, I just want to encourage somebody. And that's not a knock on how life was going at that time. What I'm saying is you're going to have persecution. You're going to have drawback. You will lose people in your life in order to gain people that God wants for your future. That's just how it is. That's scripture. It's what God talks about. But man, it's very, very hard to kind of receive the shock of, man, Carson, it was never about you, dude. Like God has been pursuing you all along. Have a relationship with him. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're listening right now, you are willing and able to have a full-blown relationship with Jesus in your high school years. For me, I didn't look up. I didn't get down on my knees and cry tears like I did in 2012 at 17 years old and say, hey, you know what? I need a savior. I need a new life. Doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect. It doesn't mean I'm just going to stop doing all these things, but it means I'm going to look to Jesus as the centerpiece of my life. And from there, he's going to change everything about my life. And he's been doing that since that moment, man. I went through my senior year of high school. I believe God used me. He worked on me. I had a lot of failures, a lot of slip-ups. Thank goodness we all fall short of God's glory and grace, but he rescues us and saves us. Because, man, even all this time, these years, it's been 4, 5, 6 years that God's constantly working on me, and I believe sanctifying my walk, and I'm just always having to press into Jesus. But it was that moment, man. I had that surgery through athletics. My back's never been the same. You know, there's been a lot of tweaks and twists and turns, and life's been a lot different. You know, I moved out here to Myrtle Beach, but it was a shock to me. It was, hey, your high school years, the things that you do. I think I would also say this to somebody. They play a role. The decisions you're making now as a 16-year-old, the decisions you're making as an 18-year-old, the decisions you're making as a 21-year-old, I'm not saying they're the end-all, be-all, but they do matter. They do matter because the things that you may be giving your life to now that aren't Jesus can become addictions later. They can become strongholds later. They can become serious issues in your new marriage. They can become serious issues in your financial life or your family life. So I'll finish it with this. Just if you're a young high school person right now, you're thinking about, man, should I give Jesus a go? Should I try this? Should I dream about this? Should I like step into this vision God has for me? One, I would say go. But I would also say this, be ready for people to leave and to fall away. Hmm. Be ready to be hurt. Be ready for pain. Be ready for a new life. Be ready to be frustrated. But ultimately know that God has you in the palm of his hand, that Jesus loves you and is taking you somewhere. But there's a process to it. And I know for me, man, my senior year of high school, my transition into college, going through a breakup, going through heartbreak, going through confusion about my faith and my calling from God, it was extremely hard, but here's what I know all these years, man. The Lord was for me and in my corner. And I hope that some young person listening right now recognizes that and chooses to follow Jesus just because of the little bits of my story and testimony from the Lord, man.
Dude, that is extremely encouraging, man. I'm so happy that you're willing to go deep like that and say what you need to say, man. It's obvious that God's put that message on your heart and he's brought you through what he has to and has had to in order for you to be able to share that with people. So I really hope that makes an impact. I'd love to just wrap this up talking about maybe the future a little bit. So one thing I know you got on the go is I think you're about to release a new book here, and then maybe touch on how that contributes to soul and maybe where you see that going in the next year or so.
Yeah, man. So obviously, it's a new season. I spoke about it first off on the podcast. Man, I'm newly married, and so we're figuring out married life, and we're doing Soul here in Myrtle, and we're just trying to lead young adults, young people to Jesus, to authentic community. We're doing some traveling, some speaking. I mean, God's been good, and through this whole process, man, through my engagement leading up to my wedding, there was talks about this book and a young adult's devotional and when it was going to release and getting it all packaged and done. And so I don't know how much I can say, but I'll encourage everybody that it is coming out this spring. It is a young adult's devotional. It is about 90 days worth of material to just say, hey, I want to plug into what God has birthed in me. And I want to make a decision to go and to be sent by him and to go off in the world. And here's a big thing for me, and you guys probably have heard it through the podcast. I'm not a very big Christianese guy. Like I wasn't raised up until I was 17. I mean, it was just, you know, secular, hangout, whatever life. And so I've always had this heart, man, just for lost people. I've always had this heart just for evangelism. Always had this heart for, hey, man, I want to see college people. I want to see young people who have no freaking idea who Jesus is find life in Jesus, find exactly what they were born to do. That's why the book's called Born For It. And do that. Use it for the kingdom of God. And one of the biggest things of this book and of this is in your walk, you're so good. You're such a blessing. God has plans for you. I'm not knocking anybody, but that's not the book that it is. It's more so a tough, raw voice of like, hey, you know what? You're going to be a great lawyer. Hey, you're going to be a great teacher. Hey, you're going to be a great pastor. Hey, you're going to own an online boutique and God's going to use that boutique to reach people. Hey, you're going to start this company. Hey, you're going to be a fitness trainer and God's going to use you in incredible ways to promote health through the body and through the mind and through the spirit. I don't know what it is, but Born For It is centered around the millions of different things that we can do. Maybe you're studying biology in college right now. Maybe you're studying law. Maybe you are studying ministry, but I don't want my heart and my message to be limited just to, hey, like if you're that Christian person, and if you're going to like pastor and go into ministry, then this is only for you. No, my heart is to say, whatever you're doing, God wants to capture your heart and he has birthed something in you to be used for the world and the mission of God. So we're not going to limit God. We're not going to put a lid on all this Christian stuff. No, we're going to rip the lid off and say, hey, what you're studying in college right now, college person listening, if you're in high school and you're dreaming up a business idea, heck, if you're out of college and you're like, you know, I want to do things for God, but I don't want to work in the church, that is okay. Let God speak to you through your creative avenue. And if your heart is pure, and I love how you said it at the beginning of the podcast, just a pure heart. Like if your heart is pure for God, then he wants to use those things for his glory. You are not limited to just inside the church. You are not limited to just like this little, you know, Christian booklet. No, God wants to use you in incredible ways through many different places in the world. So born for it, man, is just this call to do what he's put on your heart about whatever that is, and to do it so well, to be excellent at it. And man, that's just my call on my heart for young.
Dude, that's amazing. I'm fired up here. I'm not sure if we lost you.
I'm fired up.
Yeah, bro. that was definitely a good interview, and I love the fact that, again, like I said before, you open your heart wide open, and I love that because, again, God can use our own stories, and he can use the things that we're going through to obviously impact others. So I'm just going to wrap it up here, guys. Thanks so much for listening. If you've made it through the full thing, Carson, where can they follow you actually if they're interested in more, dude?
Yeah, man. So I've got Instagram. It should be at Carson_Case. Twitter's the same thing. Through there, you could probably find me on email. I've got a blog website. It's kind of being worked on right now with just like some weekly blogs. And it is www.carson-case.com. So check that out. But I just also want to say to you, man, thanks so much for having me. Thank you, people, for listening. I'm so imperfect. Probably have no idea what I'm doing half the time. But I love Jesus. I think he's the hope of the world and everything that we can follow. So, man, that's what I'm here to talk about, dude. I appreciate you so much.
Amazing, dude. That's awesome and such a good way to wrap it up. So, yeah, thanks again for listening, guys. Make sure you tune in to the next one, too. And just remember, above it all, you are so loved. God bless.